CBC presents Desert Island Discs. Program, a well-known person is asked the question, if you were to be cast away alone on a desert island, which 8 gramophone records would you choose to have with you? Assuming, of course, that you also had a gramophone and an inexhaustible supply of needles. The program's introduced by Roy Plumley.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? On our desert island on this occasion is Margaret Lockwood, 3 times winner of the National Film Award as the most popular screen actress in Great Britain, and very popular also for her excellent performances on the London stage. Well, Margaret, what sort of castaway do you think you'd be on a desert island?
Depressed.
Yes, I should think so. What I meant to say was, how efficient would you be at looking after yourself?
Do you mean cooking?
Well, I mean cooking, yes, but lighting a fire first.
Oh, I'd be completely useless at both.
Oh, dear. Could you build a hut to live in?
Not a hope. I was drummed out of the Brownies in my first fortnight. I'm afraid I wouldn't make old bones on a desert island. It would be a short life and a miserable one.
Well, I'm worried about you. Well, let's hear about this music that you've chosen that might make it last a little longer. What's your first record?
The Eton Boating Song.
Yes, why?
Oh, it's always been a favourite of mine. It has grace and rhythm. It's a lazy-sounding tune.
I'm not sure that it's meant to be, not for the poor chaps in the boat.
Well, they couldn't be working all that hard or they wouldn't be able to sing.
True.
It always conjures up for me a very pleasant English scene. The River Thames in midsummer in the days before petrol launches. Lovely ladies and parasols and flowing white gowns. Willow trees and whiskery gentlemen in straw hats and blazers. All the charm of the 3 men in a boat period.
Very pleasant music, that. What next?
Something from my favorite opera.
Mm, which is?
La Traviata. I'd like to be able to say that I go and see every production of it in London. I'd like to. But somehow I don't seem to have a chance of seeing it.
Well, you're rather a busy person, aren't you? Which part of the opera do you choose?
Oh, the prelude to Act One. This is a foretaste, or in my case, a reminder, of all the romance and drama and beauty that is to follow.
You can't have the rest of La Traviata. Now what?
I was always a great admirer of Ivan Novello's.
Yes?
He was a very dear friend of mine, too. I think my favorite among his musical plays was King's Rhapsody. I remember the first time I went to see it, and I went several times. It was with Peter Graves. I was filming, I remember, and had an awful rush to get to the theater in time. Well, neither Peter nor I had had anything to eat, and we were both ravenously hungry. The enchantment of the play made us forget all about it. We went round to see Ivor in the intervals, and he fed us with biscuits in his dressing room. In his own special way, Ivor Novello had genius. He's a tremendous loss to our theatre, and can never be replaced. I'd like to hear on my desert island, "Someday My Heart Will Awake," sung by Vanessa Lee. always wish I'd kept up my singing lessons, and then perhaps Ivo might have written one of his musical plays for me.
Have you ever appeared in a musical show?
Not since I was a fairy in pantomime.
When was that?
My very first job. I was 13 years old. I've danced in one or two pictures, and I learned to fly to music in Peter Pan.
You played Peter Pan for 2 Christmases running, didn't you?
And perhaps that was the most rewarding experience I've had in my career so far. Children are a wonderful audience.
Did you enjoy the flying?
Oh, I loved it. I remember of one performance I was just going to make my entrance in the scene where Peter flies onto the boat to rescue Wendy, you know? I don't think I'm giving away a really great secret when I tell you that Peter flies by means of a wire which is hooked onto a special harness.
I had an idea there was a trick in it.
Well, I was standing on a high rostrum in the wings and the man came to hook on the wire. I realized to my horror I hadn't got my harness on.
No time to fetch it?
No.
Oh.
All I could do was climb down from the rostrum, creep along the back of the stage and climb up the side of the boat. I wish you could have seen the faces of the rest of the cast. There they were, all standing on the boat, looking up in the air to see me fly down. And I climbed up on board at their feet from the opposite direction.
Talking about boats.
Oh, back to the island.
Yes, please.
Well, next I'd like the Vaughan Williams Fantasia on Greensleeves.
Well, once again, why?
Oh, because this music is tied up with my favorite period in history, the Elizabethan. Another of my ambitions is to make an Elizabethan film.
Would you like to say that again louder? We may give somebody an idea.
Well, incidentally, I rather believe the melody of Greensleeves was composed a little earlier than Queen Elizabeth's day, but it certainly achieved its popularity then. Boat song.
You're very keen on boating songs, Margaret. We've only just left Eton.
Well, it's sheer coincidence. Nothing at all to do with any fondness of mine for boats.
Do I detect in that you're a bad sailor?
I'm the world's worst sailor. The thought of the sea turns me pea green.
I seem to remember a few years ago you were in a film about the sea.
Rulers of the Sea, with Douglas Fairbanks and Will Pike.
Yes, I think that was it.
I'm sure it was. So I've only ever been in one sea picture, and I hope I'm never in another.
Using a very old joke, the rulers of the sea hadn't ruled it smooth enough for you.
Oh, that's very old,
isn't it?
Well, the film was made in Hollywood, and my first scene in the picture took place on a lovely old sailing ship off Catalina Island. Well, for some hours, the director tried to get the prostrate Lockwood onto her feet and in a fit state to be photographed. But when they did get me upright, they took one look at my face and decided the scene had to be faked in the studio. It's nothing to do with the sea that attracts me to this tune. Perhaps it's because I'm mostly Scots by ancestry. I've never been to Skye. Well, that's another of my ambitions to fret over while I'm on that island.
Let's take one island at a time.
My next record's a favourite that I share with somebody else. My daughter, Margaret Julia, known as Toots. We've lots of gramophone sessions together.
She's already following in your footsteps in the theatre, isn't she?
She started young, or a year younger than I did.
What's this favourite that you share?
Tchaikovsky's Swan Lake Ballet music. Tootsie's enthusiasm for this record dates from her very first visit to the ballet. She was very tiny at the time, but she was absolutely enthralled. It was the first time in her life I've ever known her sit quite still, listening and watching as though she were really in Wonderland. There's very much I can say about my next choice. I heard it first on the radio, and I went out and bought a copy. And I've been very fond of it ever since. It's a little Irish song called The Spinning Wheel, and it's sung by Delia Murphy.
Mellow, the moonlight to shine is beginning. Close by the window, young Eileen is spinning. Bent o'er the fire, her blind grandmother sitting is crooning and mourning and drowsily knitting.
Well, that was number 7. Now, what's your last one going to be?
Oh, I've saved for the end something grandiose and thrilling, The Ride of the Valkyries. This music has the same effect on me as thunderstorms. It gives me a feeling of fear, of realization of the immensity of time and space, and a rather uncanny but pleasurable exhilaration.
You've one more choice to make, Margaret.
Mm?
As well as your 8 records and your gramophone, you may have a luxury object. Any luxury you like. It mustn't be anything useful like a frying pan or an axe.
No, it wouldn't be any use to me anyway. Well, I think perhaps the most important thing to me would be, something to keep my mind occupied. Crossword puzzles.
Crossword puzzles? A set of those books of crossword
puzzles. Yes, and an unlimited supply. I mean, if I'm going to be there for a very long time.
Do you want the answers or not?
No answers.
Well, you better have a pencil. I think we'll give you a pencil.
Oh.
Well, here comes the rescue ship, and we've reserved a suite for you on A deck.
Oh,
is that all right?
Posh, yeah.
Well, thank you, Margaret, for being shipwrecked for us and letting us hear your choice of Desert Island Discs. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.
The program, Desert Island Discs, was devised by Roy Plumley and introduced by him in the London studios of the BBC.